Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast.
When somebody emails me, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, email is just kind of standard business. You know, yeah, there's some spammy emails that are annoying, but again, if I've opted in to receive them in particular, or, you know, I get a personal email from a friend, okay, cool. Like I can get to that when I get to it. When I get a text, there's something different about kind of the vibe, if you will, that carries. At least for me, is I go, okay, you texted me. You texted my personal cell phone number, and to me, that's just a little bit more intrusive. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't use it, that you can't do it. But again, working with that same business I was referring to earlier, they were just blasting text messages out 3, 4, 5 times a week. And they were getting a lot of just people opting out. And because it is just a so much more intrusive way of reaching people, but it's a very effective way of reaching people. So you have to just be very cautious in how you use it, how often. And the nature of texting would be like, I don't know if the jab, jab, right hook is going to apply so much. I think every time you text, you're just sending out something that you believe is really valuable or important, whether it's a we're coming to you or asking you to come to us type of text. Like I would see nothing wrong with, you know, let's say you've got 4, 5, 6 big events at your church throughout the year, you know, Christmas, Easter, maybe a vacation Bible school for kids, you know, these types of things. I see nothing wrong with sending out maybe one text reminder for, or one, maybe two text reminders for each of those type of events. But I don't think it's something that you just blast a text out and go, hey, check out last week's sermon. Now save that for email. You know, it could be something where your pastor has a special announcement and says, hey, boom, hey, check this out. Here's a link to a video. But by and large, like it's a whole different kind of world and how it's used and how it's received. And so it's hard for me to even say what the exact rules are with it. I just say be very intentional is really what it comes down to. And very and even infrequent. One, maybe two text messages a month on average is what I would recommend. Otherwise, you're going to get people that are just like, I mean, people can receive, they can receive multiple emails a week from an organization and not really be bothered by it. But texting, again, I say one, maybe two a month on average. And so again, you just have to be really intentional and strategic with how you use it.
You touched on what I was going to ask next. So probably I'm assuming you don't want to exceed, let's say, 3 emails in a week. That people are getting from you. Because one of those things for me, at least, that increases the unsubscribe button is if I'm getting something from someone like 5 times a week, it's like, okay, we gotta go here. I know people have more grace with their church than with like their clothing company or whatever. But it's at some point too, I mean, people just, you know, it's too much for some people, right?
Yeah. And that's why I just love email marketing is because you can really dial it in based on how people are engaging with you. So for example, in any of these, you know, we keep using MailChimp or any of these softwares, you can go in and you can find, you can segment out and you can say, hey, anybody who is, you know, opening 50% or more of our emails, they're clearly expressing some level of interest in us. Then we're going to kind of put them in a track, if you will, of an email sequence where they're going to be receiving them more often. Now, that's a very advanced way to use email marketing. So I'm just going to throw that out there as a possibility, but probably we're not going to take the time to dive into how that would work right now. So let's talk about it from two different angles. The first is the when somebody is first initially interested in your church, they enter that interested category and that they give you their email. Well, you really do need to strike while the iron is hot, if you will. And so early on, I think it's very acceptable to send, even if it it's a daily email for maybe a 2 to 3 week span. I think that's very acceptable because that is when they are most interested in wanting to learn more about you. And so how that could look, there's a lot of different ways you could take it. And again, and the nice thing about these email marketing platforms is you can build all this out to be automated, is you can build a sequence of emails that maybe has content that's like, hey, here's what to expect at church. You know, here's what we have. It's a lot of the content you would probably have on your website, just kind of breaking that content down in these different emails. Like, here's what we offer for kids. Here's what we offer for, you know, students and young adults. Here is our connection groups. And what I would say is you have to think as a church, because what do you want? You want them to physically attend your church, but I would think for different churches, it's probably going to be different, but what is the most important step you can get somebody to take who's initially interested in your church? And what you're doing is you are kind of, again, in those first couple of weeks, maybe you are sending an email every day or every weekday, and you're saying, hey, here's a little bit more, here's a little bit more, and here's how we want you to connect with us. You know, it might be something like, I've seen, and it depends on the size of your church, but I've seen some that say, what we want you to do is we want you to schedule a meeting or a time to get coffee with one of our pastors. You know, here's a scheduling link or how to go about scheduling that. And yeah, that's a big ask, but then you can make a very potentially personal connection with someone, even more than them just walking into, you know, one of your worship services. And so that kind of first phase where it's kind of like, yeah, again, they're interested. So we want to really take advantage of that period of, like I said, maybe the first 2 to 3 weeks of educating them about your church and providing them value in the process. And because again, we're not going to get in all the story brand aspect of it, but you know, make sure you're writing things from a perspective in those emails. That's not just like, hey, we're awesome. Here's how this helps you kind of approach. And you're making that little ask to, hey, we'd love to meet you. You know, of course, join us for worship or schedule a time to meet with our pastor or one of our pastors here and include that type of content. Like I said, over a 2 to 3 week span, you put them through that. And then once they move out of that phase, whether they took action or not, you would move them into what you'd call your more standard weekly procedure or weekly email automation or whatever it may be. And so how that might look is, yeah, every Monday we send out a link to the latest sermon. And then maybe every, later that week, we send out, if you've got it, maybe some type of supplemental content. And then after that, yeah, maybe every Friday or Saturday, we send out an email that reminds people of church this weekend, something like that. And then it's just a more standard, you know, every week you're getting these 2 to 3 emails. And then every once in a while, yeah, you're going to throw in something that is more like, hey, we got this big event coming up or the special opportunity, something like that. So there's those two phases, kind of like when they're initially interested, and then kind of once they move through that sequence, okay, now here's kind of more just like week to week what we're doing with our email content.
That's a really good point, because you could talk forever here. We don't have time to go down this road, but setting up different campaigns. So campaign for your new members or newly engaged, right? Campaigns for grief and loss, campaigns for, there's no end of campaigns, but once they're set up, then you can automate, you know, walking them through this campaign that is 3 to 7, 8 emails long, whatever. And I really like what you said about setting up for them the opportunity to say, you know, a lot of people, pastors say, hey, contact me anytime, you know, but people don't take advantage of that blanket statement. But if you send them an email that says, hey, here's 10 different times in this week, if you want to schedule a call or schedule a, you know, meeting or whatever, or schedule coffee, you know, you'd probably get a lot more response from that newly engaged group who, like you said, is the hungriest group that you have inside your church. Typically, I find in doing outreach that within the first 3 to 6 months of someone being there, they make 80% of the strides that they're going to. if they didn't get involved in the first 6 months in some type of ministry, their likelihood of getting involved goes way down, right? Or of taking additional steps or of getting baptized or whatever. And so sometimes we feel like we have a long window for decision making, and it's actually not all that true. You know, it's pretty short formative window there. So, okay, man, that's really, really good. Let me ask you one real, if this sidestep this, treat it fast if you could, but like talking to your connected bucket, you and I talked before off the mic here about having a podcast, whether that's just the sermon or maybe just some encouragement or whatever, that goes out primarily to your connected bucket. What do you, first off, do you think that's effective? If so, what's the best way to run it for your maximum amount of, you know, time spent versus benefits reaped?
Yeah. And just to clarify, are you talking about a podcast? Maybe you already said this and I missed it, but a podcast of your preaching or that supplemental content that would be kind of designed for video and digital first?
Well, either or. So a lot of pastors, if they have a podcast, it's just a podcast of their sermons. And I know why. You spend a lot of time developing that sermon and it's already there. Obviously, everybody now is recording or live streaming their services. So you already have that content. You just clip it, plug it and play. But is that the most effective, or is it effective to do, you know, a 10-minute recording of something or whatever else? You've seen churches do some stuff that I haven't seen. And so what have you seen be effective, and what do you think is maybe the most bang for your buck in that area?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the preaching side. I am a big proponent of, yes, you're preaching at least once a week. Use that content. There's no reason nowadays why you can't easily capture, if nothing else, the audio of that content, which, as I've preached many times, I think is way more important than capturing video. Good audio is better than bad video any day. And so capturing at least the audio of that content, you can go, I've talked about it many times, you can get this, you know, these lapels that plug straight into your phone and capture through the Voice Memo app. You can just wear that while you're, if nothing else, that's what you can do. I mean, that's a, if you've already got the phone, that's a sub $100 setup. And you can capture that audio, then you can upload it to one of my favorite platforms to recommend, Anchor.fm, or Spotify for Podcasters, as it's called now, or some type of podcasting platform. It doesn't matter. Subsplash does podcasting and all these other platforms do as well. You upload that. And now, yes, you've got, if nothing else, your weekly sermon content out there. You could take that a level further. That's what I meant to say, or a step further, with the email marketing. I know this would require maybe a little more explanation, but I'm just going to kind of say that it can be done and maybe later circle back to how it can be done. You can actually take that RSS feed that comes from your podcast and you can go into MailChimp or your software email platform of choice. And you can set up a automated email. Every time a new episode drops to that podcast feed, it's going to blast it out to your email list. And so that for me is the easiest way now for your church to do two things: get your preaching out there online via a podcast, and then also start doing something at least once a week with email. It's an incredibly simple process to set up. If you have about 1, maybe 2 hours, you can set all that up. And then as long as you're uploading your weekly sermon, you're good to go from there. So that, if anything, any church anywhere can start there, because that, again, spend the $100 to maybe buy that microphone and you're set. Now, to take it a step further, I am all about if you can produce video, what I would call, again, video first or digital first content, where you sit down in some type of studio setting, like what I've got here. You don't have to have all the, you know, I've obviously got a really great camera, a really good microphone here. You don't have to have all of that, because again, if you've got an iPhone, you're already equipped with what you need. And there are some really fantastic tools out there, software and tools. Again, I don't have time to go into all of it, that are going to actually really enable you, tap into technology and AI to enable you to produce high quality video and audio. Yeah, and then you could take that content and you can upload it to YouTube or social media, and you can take the audio version and you can also drop that on your podcast. That content's probably, and honestly, it's up to you, but for sake of you producing it, you may want to consider keeping it short to start. Like, hey, we're just going to try to do 10 to 15 minutes of content here a week, or something like that. I'm also a big proponent and preach that you need to batch record your content like that. Sit down, take an hour to maybe record 4 to 6 episodes, or however many you think you can get in that hour, and then schedule them to release on your podcast and video and YouTube channel and all of that. So again, but take it a step at a time. Again, if nothing else, you're preaching every week. Start capturing quality audio of your sermons, whether you do it through a simple setup like I've described, or through your sound system, whatever. Upload that to a podcast somewhere. Then go ahead and set up that automated email, because it's actually not that hard to do. And then after that, now you can start to look into producing that supplemental content. And again, we could go into all the how to do that and all of that at some point, but for sake of time, I don't think we're going to get around to the ins and outs of that today.
Yeah, podcast is a whole nother thing. And so I know it, there's not enough time to go there, but that answered my question for what I needed to know today. Okay, so moving away from talking to people inside your connected bucket, let's move and focus really on people that would be interested in your church, but maybe they haven't engaged, or they've engaged so infrequently that, you know, they kind of, you're not top of mind for them. I guess if someone fills out, well, let me start here. Traditionally, if someone comes to one of our churches, they will fill out some type of guest or connection card. Okay. Quite frequently that card has, you know, even the most slimmed down versions. I know you're a proponent of asking less.
Yes.
On these type of cards. And now because of you, we have a virtual card that they can, you know, QR link to, that's worked out really well. And we're actually getting more of those than we're getting physical cards. And I was wondering how that would work. So that's kind of neat. We could talk about that later on, because I haven't even brought that up to you since you set it up for us. But with that, I'm not asking for someone's address. We do ask for their phone and their email. Quite frequently, we're getting both. Okay. If someone gives you their email, somewhere on that card, does it need to say that we're going to send you emails, or is it just kind of a safe assumption that you're going to now start, you know, emailing people once they filled out that one connect or guest services card?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty understood that if you give somebody an email address or a phone number, they're going to contact you. I mean, the nature of your card is very likely titled something like connection card or contact card or something like that, or and communication card. So it is in the name, like, we're going to use this to connect with you. So I don't know. I'm no law firm. I can't legally tell you what is maybe advised, but I don't see the need to. I think your language in explaining it can be very hospitable, if you will, and not so legal. So, for example, if the wording of your connection card, you know, says, hey, you know, at the top it says, you know, connect with us, you know, please share some details, the information you're comfortable sharing so that we can get to know you more, or so that we can contact you or whatever. Well, you're telling people right there, we're going to contact you. So as long as you've got some, again, what I'd call hospitable language in there to explain that, I think you're safe and you're good. And yeah, I'm a big fan and kind of what I like to teach is, I'm not saying don't ask for all the information that maybe a standard card like that would ask for. I'm a big fan of stair-stepping that information. So for example, if I can get your email, well, maybe what I can build into that email sequence that we were talking about earlier is a follow-up email that says, hey, it was great, you know, connecting with you. We want to learn a little bit more about you. I heard one guy, this is really, or maybe actually you told me about this, really smart. They said, hey, we want to send your family a pizza. And so that was a way to get the physical address. You know, they said, so that was part of their process, was once they got that physical address, and you know, and then they'd have to also know kind of like how many kids they had to know the size of their family. I mean, literally they would, and I think they had a place on there to pick your pizza night or whatever. They would go and tell Pizza Hut, Domino's, whatever, and they would order pizzas and have them physically sent to their address. I thought that was very brilliant because it's a very innovative way of getting that contact information, which I know I can see the value of it. You know, if you want to do a personal visit at some point, I get that. And if you want to be able to get them on your physical mailing list, if you're going to use, you know, postcards or mail outs and things like that occasionally, I see the value in it. All that to say, stair step the way you ask for that information. Start with an email or maybe a phone number, and then, you know, then say, okay, now give us this. Okay, now share us a little bit about this. So that, because you see those connection cards, and most of them are this way, that it's like, give us all your info. And I know people are like, well, they'll just share what they want. No, a lot of people see that and they go, that's too much to fill out, or that's too intrusive. No, thank you. And they don't. And so I'm glad to hear that your, I guess, conversion rate, if that's the term for it, is higher on those connection cards. And yeah. I would say a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that you've done a good job of streamlining it down to, you know, just asking the basics.
Well, it was genius, because what they did was, once this particular church, once you filled out that card, the email, they did send you something, and it went something like, you know, we believe families are important around here, like a verse to that. And they're like, because of that, we want to support your family night. So, you know, our gift to you, we want to send you. And I don't remember if it was pizza pie or if it was a dessert pie or what. I mean, you can do different things based on how much money you can spend. But they basically reinforced, like, you know, we love families. Let us, you know, reach out to yours. And they're, I mean, of course, who doesn't want a free, you know, whatever. Their conversion rate on that was extremely high. So it was a really great idea. So, I like what you said about that, and talk about setting up email campaigns. Obviously you should have a campaign for people who visited your church, but are not yet attenders, right? To start to talk about, here's what we do for kids. Here's where you can, your teenager can be. Here's our connect groups, all that other stuff, you know? So that's obviously a whole string of emails that you could put together, and taking the time, I guess, to set it up, but then you could run with it for years to come. So it's definitely a big worthwhile investment to marketing towards those people. Okay. Well, that would be more than what most churches are doing in all of the conferences and talking to church leaders that I do about reaching out to people. Sadly, most churches ask for the information. They're like, we really need your information. And they do very, very little with it. Yep. Maybe it's a traditional, they show up at your house, but let's face it, for some people, that's most time when I show up to someone's house, and I still do it. If I show up unannounced, mostly it's like, oh, sorry, we, you know, it's messy inside, or we weren't ready, we weren't dressed for this, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, finding other creative ways is important, you know, to letting people that, you know that you care or whatever. But sadly, for most of us churches, we ask for information to do like almost nothing with it. So, I mean, shame on us in that regard. Okay. I think that, you know, covering that with email marketing for the interested, that makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of creative ways you could go around that. You wouldn't have any email addresses from your not interested, obviously. So this goes into just social media presence or whatever else, which I didn't really want to touch in this call because you did a good job handling it in your last coaching call. So I think that pretty much you answered a lot of this stuff for me about talking to connecteds, talking to interested, those kind of warm folks, and then also touching a little bit on podcasting for your church, which I think are all really great ideas, a lot of which could have their own podcast in the future or whatever. But no, man, I think that really wraps up for me what I wanted to ask. Gives me a lot of to-do items, a lot of hours to set up stuff. But you're setting up systems, which means that you can roll with them for years to come if you take the time to set them up right here at the beginning. So thanks, man. I really feel like you covered a lot of the things that, you know, I had questions about, and set it up for our team over here.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy any time I get to do a coaching call like this, I enjoy it. And it's like we say, you and me, we have these conversations like this all the time. So this was just more intentional saying, hey, let's record this one. But I will say this, we like I said, we jumped in kind of a high level overview of everything in this particular session. I'm going to put the offer out to you, Jeremy, but also to anyone out there in our audience, I would love to get on a coaching call with someone where we actually could go in, I could share my screen, and I could show you how to set up these actual things as far as, hey, have you ever set up a podcast before? Here's how you do it. Oh, okay, you've got a podcast already. Here's how we're going to set up that automated email, or maybe the sequence of emails that we talked about. It's one of those things where if you just sit down and do it, it doesn't, again, I would say, Jeremy, a lot of what we talked about today, if you or anybody out there could find, you know, let's just say a half a day, a half a work day. I'm not going to be unrealistic and say, oh, it only takes 10 minutes. No. Because you got to put some thought into this. But if you can find half a day, you could set up a lot of what we talked about. And like you said, it's a one-time kind of like a one and done system. And so I'm going to put that offer out to you or anybody out there. I'll be sure to include in the show notes an actual scheduling link. So if somebody wants to actually schedule that with me, or maybe Jeremy, maybe you'll, because you're obviously hearing this before everybody else, or maybe you'll go ahead and schedule it yourself. But either way, I want to put that offer out there and help because I think that'd be some great content for future episodes.
Absolutely. And actually, we're subscribed to MailChimp already. And I've used, although I'm slacking on it, Spotify for Podcasters or Anchor, however you want to call it. So yeah, connecting those two, I was just going to go and like Google it myself. But if you're offering to walk me through it for the benefit of everybody else in relation to a church, especially, I would take you up on that offer and invite other people to as well, because, man, once you set it up, that'd be great to have it kick out there every time. Because I was, just to say this about podcasts real quick, when we set ours up and you told me you should set it up and to use Anchor, and I did, Spotify, whatever, my thought was, okay, I'm going to put out the Sunday morning service from our pastor, which I did. And I thought there's not going to be a lot of people that listen to this, because if you were already there at the church service, which most people are coming on Sunday morning, then you're not going to go back and listen to it again 3 days later, you know, or whatever. Tuesday, I think we kicked out. And, you know, if you're outside of here, how would you even know about our podcast? Because it was hard to get that out or whatever. I couldn't believe how many people were listening to it every single week. Now, I've talked to you for hours about how does Anchor count? How does Spotify count listens? And it's so hard. Like, I don't know. So I don't know if they're just listening to it for a while, if they're going all the way through, but the numbers were crazy of people. And then I'd have people in church tell me, like, I'm so glad that you do that. I listened to it again. And I'm like, but you were just here on Sunday. You listened to the sermon again. And they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. I love it. So, okay. I mean, that's great. So it was very effective, and I honestly don't know why I stopped. I guess it just got busy and I need to get back to it. So thanks for the reminder. And I'd love to know how to connect that to our email marketing platform that we already have in play. So sounds good to me, man.
All right. Well, maybe that'll be the next time we feature in an episode here. But like I said, either way, if somebody else there wants to have, you know, and it doesn't have to be about that. It can be about anything. I'm still going to include my scheduling link there in the show notes for this particular episode. And so, it's been great talking to you, Jeremy, once again. Well, talk to you on the podcast. We talk all the time, but it's been good to have you back. And thanks everyone out there for joining us for this episode. And we'll see you in the next one.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase Podcast.